Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. John and I are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Rich is over there in Nantucket. You can watch us at twitch.tv. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app for the podcast and live show. This weekend, very strange. It just, I talked to my wife yesterday, and it was like, do you feel weird? And it's like, yeah, things felt somewhat normal again this weekend.
Spent most of the day outside yesterday.
Oh, it's glorious. And it's going to be in the 60s all week from what I'm seeing. It's going to start raining at the end of the week, but I mean, how much does that just do for your mental health? Just to be able to step outside and spend most of the day outdoors and not freeze your balls off. It was awesome.
First time in a very long, in a year, I went out with a friend on Saturday to watch football or basketball. And so in the place that we went to was packed. So, I mean, it was very, very strange. It felt like people were back at it. People were out and about.
I almost went fishing this weekend. It was so nice. Wow. It was like not freezing where you would just sit out there and just die. I actually saw a boat out there. Someone actually took their boat out early in order to go fishing. It was so nice. And it's supposed to remain that way for a while. We know we're going to get kicked in the crotch probably right around April 3rd or 4th. It always happens that way. There's one last one they save for us just when we convince ourselves that it's all over with. But, hey, maybe this year will be the rare exception where that doesn't happen and we can go ahead and start counting our chickens before they hatch. That would be nice.
Yeah, it's I'm looking at the forecast. It doesn't seem that great.
Well, but this week's supposed to be in the 60s for most of the week.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, 70 on Thursday.
Amazing. I think it's supposed to rain though on that day, but still,
whatever. Thursday is supposed to be nice. Friday rain. Okay. 67. And then it gets cold again. But not cold. 40s, which is, I mean, what do you want?
That's the week after when it snows and we get a quick blizzard.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you want it to be? Normal temperatures? Come on. I mean, what are you, crazy? I mean, you got to accept that, you know, you're going into April. And then there's nothing like having a 70-degree day and then having to get a nice stretch of highs in the low 50s or high 40s. But I'll tell you, it was something else. People were out and about.
High 40 sounds pleasant. I'll take that all day right now. High 40s, I can live with that.
It's just not as... But when you get the high in the 40s, that means in the morning it's, you know, in the low 30s. But nonetheless, people were out. People were boozing it up everywhere you went. People were outside. People were inside. People were enjoying life.
Yeah, and it stinks because tomorrow was supposed to be the first live crowd at the TD Garden, and because of the COVID protocols, all the players getting sick, that's not going to happen until possibly Thursday. We don't even know what the status of Thursday's game is. It seems like it's on for now, but you know, that's obviously a tentative situation, but that would have been nice, that being the first day, so that would have been good.
The 12% capacity that they reached in terms of, it was just straight science. They went 12%. They said, they crunched the numbers. They did everything you could possibly do scientifically. And they said 12%. There's no guessing game at all. It's just 12%. I was thinking about it. And, you know, I have these tickets for the Red Sox, and I'm going to end up with a big credit because I got to pick one game for April and one game for March. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, why the hell is it 12% to a Fenway game? I mean, if someone's sitting three, four seats from you, you're not going to get COVID from them. Just, I mean, it's outside. We know enough now. Like, if you're outside and you're not, like, up in someone's face, the chances of you getting COVID are very, very slim. That's why, despite everyone's hand-wringing and going crazy, Florida never, I mean, if you go death by population, it's smack dab in the middle. It's lower than here.
Does it have to do not necessarily with sitting outdoors, but is the worry about standing in line for beer or waiting in line for the bathroom?
You can mitigate that. You can certainly mitigate that. And I would also contend that if you're in an open concourse, because those concourses, I mean, there are places in Fenway that are not open, and I understand that. And I would, if you used your head and you didn't want to get COVID, you would book through those areas and not screw around in there. But in terms of like a big open concourse, like when you get into Fenway, yeah, unless you're got your mask off and you're sitting there talking to someone, I don't see that being a huge deal of getting COVID.
I think I read that number was like a bathroom situation. And as John said, it has nothing to do with the actually being a, like, if you could just beam into your seat, I'm sure you could film a lot more people.
I think that if people use their brains, and it's, again, if you're taking a pee next to someone and you have a mask on, and I mean, unless you're taking a 15-minute pee, My chances are, anyway, it just 12%. A lot of this, of course, is just guessing. I mean, it is. It's just guessing. No one knows. So this was a guess.
It'll be nice because of the timeline. I mean, hopefully things go in the direction, you know, where by playoff time, hopefully the numbers will go down. And even though we've had a little bit of a bump lately, it would be nice if, you know, all the vaccinations got us to a point where you could have at least a half-fill house for the playoffs. That would be phenomenal. I think that's kind of what they're hoping for, but you know, obviously everything is tentative, judging on how everything goes.
Whatever with the Garden, I don't know enough about it, but I know when you're outside, and they've proved it, because in the schools in the South where they can open the windows and everything, they're not having problems. And so, so much of it has to do with ventilation and air, and just being outside and having that kind of, you know, that kind of ventilation. And if you're outside, you know, you got to be kind of a dope. I mean, you would have to certainly.
Unfortunately, there are dopes out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you can't babysit everyone. If you go and you wear a mask and you are outside. I mean, you could sit in your seat without a mask in outside. I'm talking about at Fenway. I mean, you're not going to get COVID just sitting there with no one around you. If someone's four seats away, the COVID doesn't, you know, roam around. And
sure.
Get into your mouth.
Sure. I think the rule is at Fenway, you have to wear a mask when you're in your seat.
Yeah.
I think that's they have that for now.
Sure. And I'm sure that when you're, you know, consuming beverages and food that. They got to really be on top of you with about that. I mean, it's like being at the movies. I mean, if you're eating, it's like being at a restaurant. If you're eating, I mean, you don't put a mask on after every bite, but you're fine in that situation. You're outside. You're fine. That's the thing. If you're outside, unless you're in someone's face, you're all right. I mean, you still have to do the thing sometimes when you're walking and you see an old lady, you got to put the mask up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the list of things that are opening today. Unfortunately, something off the list was ball pits.
I know Nick's very upset.
They're not letting the ball pits of America open back up. Who still has a ball pit? I thought that we kind of learned decades ago that was just even in non-COVID times, a festering just pit of disease.
How many Chuck E. Cheese's are left?
Well, Chuck E. Cheese didn't have one anymore. It was more of a McDonald's thing.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That was a Happy Land play place that they had outside. They would have the ball pit, and then they came in with the indoor ones with the ball pits.
Sure.
But I thought that even those, like 20 years ago,
sure.
We realized that they were just a big pit of disgust. I know that there was a... I don't know if we talked to somebody on the air, but somebody told a story one time about how they had to fish a dirty diaper from a kid out of a ball pit. They worked at like one of these fast food restaurants, like a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's, one of the ones that has those. And some kid had left their dirty diaper in it, and you know they had to go fish it out. And then they had to sanitize every single ball that was in the ball pit. So I don't understand why those are still a deal, but it's obviously a big enough thing in Massachusetts that they had to put it in the official press release of things that cannot open yet.
How
ball
funny
pits
is it?
Right there.
Because the only ball pit I know is when my kids did the rip-off gymnast thing. You know, I'm sure your kids did it too. Like when they're like real little and they have like the quote-unquote gym place. I mean, it's not real gymnastics. It's like there's a ball pit and like a... swings and stuff like that. I'm sure your kids have done it. If you don't,
ours was a foam pit though. They replaced it with foam.
I'm sure that's so much cleaner. But this was that's the only thing I could see. And what would be funny about that is if they're like, you can't go in the ball pit, but everything else is.
They offered the biggest ball pit in the New England.
I know Nick is very upset about it. Very upset. But I got my two Red Sox games. I got 2 day games.
One
in April.
Who are the opponents? You got a good opponent.
I got Detroit in May, and then I got because I had to change because I'm going to be out of town for the game that I actually got. So I changed it. No one good, but it's a day. It's a Saturday day game.
Okay.
Is there a chance if they do increase capacity, Fred, that you could some of those games might open up for you? Do you think?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, hopefully.
Is that they would open that up.
Go to 20% capacity and you can open up and get a couple games.
I would hope that they were opening well beyond 20% capacity.
From 12 to 20,
I'm hoping that the next time they're like 50 and then after that they're like, okay.
Texas Rangers opening day 100%.
Yeah, but
capacity.
Everyone goes, everyone's going to die, and then you go and look at the numbers in Texas and the numbers of deaths are less than here. Per capita. So, I mean...
Miami over the weekend?
Yeah, they had to shut it down because of all the spring breakers. I understand that.
8 o'clock curfew.
Yeah, but, I mean, everyone's going to die. And then you look at the numbers per capita, and you go, no, that didn't happen. So, yeah, if it's nice, open the thing up. But, I mean, it's just more money in my pocket, I guess. Worst things could happen. All right, Rich, what's going on?
We had a rare feel-good moment from the Celtics yesterday. We'll get to that and everything that went on with this team over the weekend, including all of the Brad Stevens to Indiana rumors.
He's a masshole. He loves White Castle or whatever the hell he said that I don't even get the reference. Duncan. Donuts, he said Duncan. I thought he said White Castle for some reason.
That he could be completely off by an entire region of the country.
Are there any White Castles in Massachusetts?
No.
I didn't think so.
You gotta go Midwest, baby.
I don't know. I watched
Chicago.
You go to New York, I know there are a few there.
I watched that movie Good Time that Rich suggested, so now I thought about White Castle.
Has your blood pressure come down yet?
Yeah, I thought it was a good movie. I thought the ending lacked a lot, but I thought it was a good movie.
It's just like one of those where it's like, remember the helicopter scene at the end of Goodfellas? It's an entire movie with that kind of tension.
Oh,
it just doesn't let up.
Well, it's the soundtrack. It's the soundtrack. It's the film score that is the true hero of that movie.
Yeah, that's the same people who did that Sandler movie, The Uncut Gems, the Safdie brothers. They're tension builders, those guys.
Yeah. They got to figure out the Uncut Gems had a great ending. But they need to figure out a better ending for Good Time. Or was it Good Time or Good Times?
Good time. Yeah.
Robert Pattinson was good.
He's great. It's gonna be a great Batman.
The Justice League. The Justice League Zack Snyder Supercut. A lot of people, I gotta tell you, a lot of people do not have attention deficit disorder. That you could sit down and watch 4 hours of superheroes.
In a box. It's not even widescreen. It's like in a box.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more difficult.
But, I mean, God bless people. I'm really jealous that people can sit down and just be for 4 hours, shut off their brain, and get launched into some land of superheroes and, you know, superpowers and all this stuff and sit there and be as happy as all day. I mean, a lot of people I like. That just fell in love with it. I wouldn't make it 20 minutes into it. I wouldn't make it 15 minutes into it. It's just too difficult. 4 hours of that. I watched The Irishman and I didn't get bored.
I loved The Irishman. I know that that's a controversial take at this radio station, but I loved that movie.
Why? Who doesn't like it?
I think that Jim Murray hates it with the passion of a thousand suns. Mm. There's some other people I saw at the station who were tweeting. I have no idea.
What a random movie to hate. I mean, it's the gang's all back together. How bad could it be? I mean, when you get the director and you get those actors, I mean, and it's about essentially the mob, it's going to be good. I mean, The Irishman was good. I don't know about that. It's one thing to The Irishman. It's another thing to go like, all right, superheroes. I wish I liked superheroes. I always think that. I wish I liked it enough. I really do. I just don't like it.
Even the cartoon, you know, the Hall of Justice against the Legion of Doom, you never get into that?
When I was a little kid, I liked the Justice League when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
The cartoon that was on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I don't even like the Marvel movies. I think they're stupid. I wish I did. I really wish I did.
There's a new Captain America, and it's causing a whole lot of controversy. Right. Watch The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. They announced a new Captain America. People not happy. I was pissed. I was throwing crap at my TV. How dare you? Steve Rogers is the only Captain
America. That's right.
America.
Why would you change that? You know.
Just between Esoteric and Crash, the two of them alone just are love it. Loved the 4 hours of the Justice League.
Really?
And they write these things on the internet about how beautiful and wonderful it is.
I was just thinking about that. Imagine making a movie and then having the luxury of, after everyone criticizes it, being able to do it over, taking into account everything that people hated about it, and then making it 4 hours long and people being cool with it. It's like a do-over that
but
you get.
In his what he would say, though, is I believe that he didn't reshoot anything, that he just used the stuff that he had.
He did reshoot a lot of it.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
He filmed new stuff for it, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I know the other Josh Whedon.
Yes.
Stepped in and made it too lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Celtics.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Thatcher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Oh, the Celtics snapped their three-game losing streak with a rare feel-good ass-kicking.
Kemba over the shoulder pass. Jaylen looking for a 7-3 in the afternoon, and he drills it.
Get that sweet potato pie, somebody.
Bring me up a piece of that.
Seven threes in 24 minutes for Jaylen Brown. 25 points. Boston by 21.
I'd like to get some of that sweet potato pie, Mr. Cedric Maxwell. Mm. Where can I find it? Is it available anywhere? Please.
I'm all, what is it? I'm all pent up and I don't know why. Need a chick that's proper when fly. Break me off a piece of that sweet potato pie. I don't know.
Is that Crazy Town?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, in what feels like forever since the team has seen a game like this, yesterday everything just worked for the Boston Celtics. They beat up on the lowly Orlando Magic, 112-96. And one of the main reasons for the epic beatdown was that Boston could not miss from three.
4:54 to go. Jaylen Brown catch and shoot another three. His 10th of the afternoon.
Brown,
108-91.
All right. Be eating that sweet potato pie at the time.
Cedric Maxwell with all
no
the
sandwiches, nothing. Just
all the analysis that you would ever need.
Now the way up to date with the homies is straight. Up a buddy, so that's Shifty Shell Shock, huh?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's the other guy.
It's the one we don't know his name.
It's the one that was never in Celebrity Rehab.
Oh. Well, this time, the shoe is on the other foot. Whereas over the last several weeks, teams couldn't miss from three against the Celtics. Yesterday, it was the Celtics who feasted from three. 23 went in. Just one shy of a franchise record. Jaylen finished with 34 points. And most importantly, I can't believe I have to say this, but looked fully engaged along with his teammates for the entirety of the game. It's also the sharpest they looked defensively as they held the Magic to 38% field goal shooting, a season low for a Boston opponent. Marcus Smart, after the game, told the media that after their embarrassing loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team held a players-only meeting to try and right the ship.
It was just us focusing on what we want this season to be for. You know, we understand, you know, we haven't been playing to the criteria that we expect it and others expect us to. We are a young team and we're learning. The big thing and the biggest thing about growth is, you know, understanding and accepting the faults that you are wrong for yourself individually and as a team. And I think the talk that we had, we did that. You know, we just tried to sit down and just try to figure it out and just listen to one another and what we need to help not ourselves but the team with, you know, individually. And we came out and it showed tonight, and that's what we got to continue to keep going.
Now, obviously, a win against one of the worst teams in the league has nothing to do flips over, but hopefully it's something to build on. And for a team that could use any kind of positive play, it was good to at least see entertaining basketball for a change. In the meanwhile, despite emphatically denying it to Zolak and Bertrand last week, there's still a ton of smoke and rumors about Brad Stevens potentially taking the coaching position at Indiana University. Even the students there made a makeshift shrine to him in front of their assembly hall.
The coolest students in all of the school.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, these are the greatest years of our lives. 4 years of basically no responsibility, being able to do whatever we want. And we're going to take the time to make a stupid shrine to a guy who's going to coach our peers.
It was a framed black and white photo of a younger Stevens surrounded by candles. It's a shrine so amazing that there's no pictures of it anywhere on the internet. I actually looked for it. And I'm like, wow, must be mind-blowing. It's nowhere to be seen.
I mean, can you imagine in college just to throw yourself into the basketball program like that? I mean, college really was the most fun I've ever had in my life. It was 4 years of nonstop fun because it's no real responsibility. I knew I wasn't going to graduate school. My grades didn't really matter. The idea that I would sit there like a total dork and be like, please coach your team. Boo.
I had a friend who was obsessed with our basketball team, our college's basketball team, and they would go to like every single game. And I just remember going, I wish I liked anything as much as this guy liked going to these games. And he was like part of like the section that you would always see on TV, right. You know, like flipping out. And I just remember being, there's a lot of games, man. Like,
yeah.
I could see going to like one or two. And I did. Every season I would go to one or two.
Yeah, I would go to Michigan State, you know, and visit. And Michigan State, especially, I mean, it's 45,000 undergrads or something ridiculous. I mean, the amount of anonymous sex, it was crazy. I mean, just because you never see the people.
It's really
again.
Not fair, to be honest with you. I went to a small school like you did.
Yeah.
It's really not fair.
I mean, it was nuts. It was so easy to get laid. And it was easy for me to get laid. Like, it was so easy.
One mistake on a small campus, you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's over. I
mean, you're in a relationship.
I know.
And so, I mean, I was in a relationship at my college for 2 years. And then this kid, Jack Wilkes, would, like, show up because the Michigan State games back then were mostly at noon before they started putting everything on TV and prime time games and everything. And he would show up at like 10 in the morning and he'd be like, let's go, guys. And we'd be like, dude, we went to bed 2 hours ago. Get out of this house. Go to a stupid football game right now. Go. I'm enjoying my life. Now, when you get older, then these things start to matter because you need your distractions. At the time, though, no respect for those students. And Indiana is a super fun school, too. No respect.
Well, after his denial, of course, not only on our show, but other places, Brad Stevens tried to set the record straight once again this weekend.
I'm a 44-year-old masshole. I swerve around others on the when I'm driving. I eat Dunkin' Donuts, and I root for the Patriots. I'm unfortunately been skewed in a lot of ways, I guess.
Adrian Wojnarowski doing some finger wagging
he
on Twitter this weekend.
He did not like this. No.
He was like, how dare you question Brad Stevens and possibly leaving. And then Dave Dameshek was coming out saying, I know that he's leaving. And then there was a bunch of other weird people coming out of the woodwork. But it looks like for now, he is going to stick around. So the Celtics.
It's a job, apparently, now that people would not want to leave the NBA for a college job. And Indiana is a job that's, I mean, it used to be you would go to a school and you could kind of just park yourself there for 40 years. And it's not, and it's a lot less difficult. It used to be considered a lot less difficult than the NBA. Because I remember Chuck Daly saying, it's a nightmare. Like, babysitting these guys is a nightmare. Like, every year I want to retire. I hate being a professional coach. And the college kids are more, you know, at least back then, were more malleable, and you kept them for 3 or 4 years. I don't know what it's like now, but apparently you would never leave for a job. That's what the hardcore hoopsers are saying.
College coaching is a grind also because, you know, there's no more building a program. You build for 1 year, and then five guys transfer out, and you have to recruit like six more kids in. Doesn't matter what level you're at.
But the thing is if you're in Indiana, you're only visiting. I mean, college basketball, I mean, you're recruiting basically 10 kids, maybe not even. And, I mean, the amount of personal contact that you have to have with them is more texting and stuff. like you might go to a couple kids' living rooms or a couple kids' games, like the 5-star, 4-star kids.
Sure.
But I mean, the idea that they're, you know, out traversing the country like Tom Izzo's in a car driving all over Ohio is ridiculous. I mean,
it's not like Nick Nolte in Blue Chips where he's, you know, traveling on the bayou to find Neon Bordeaux. It's not like that.
Love that movie.
That's a great Rick Pitino
sports movie.
Rick Pitino showed his kids over there at Iona or whatever the hell he coaches Blue Chips before the game, and they lost.
Yeah. Like we all knew they would.
Well, the Celtics, they now find themselves at 6th in the East with the trade deadline this Thursday. So many rumored players connected to Boston. Well, obviously, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on and keep an eye on it all week. In the meantime, the Celtics head to Memphis, who no longer play in that weird-ass pyramid, to take on the Grizzlies. To be quite honest, I always, whenever they're playing in Memphis, I'm like, oh, they're in the pyramid, and I forgot. It was like 10 years ago they stopped playing in that thing. It's now, I think, a Bass Pro Shops, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Gigantic ass pyramid right in the middle of Memphis.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's like the largest building in the city. You see it when you're driving up, is now a Bass Pro Shop. So the place is enormous, and I do like the place.
I bet you more people go to the Bass Pro Shop than went to the games.
That's no question, especially in Memphis. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. Tonight. You can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you want to get your hoop fix after a day of mania, of straight madness, Rich, what do we got coming up?
We got some more news about the Bruins situation and the Patriots looking to be aggressive in this draft. We'll give you the latest on what some of the insiders are saying.
All right. We'll be back here at the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
By the way, real quick, there's this in the Soundgarden song. Remind me of this. There's an old interview of ours with Kirk Hammett that all of a sudden has just made the rounds again.
Yeah, it comes up on the Google alerts. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about how we had Kirk Hammett from Metallica on, and we were just talking about the origin of the song Enter Sandman, which is the song that turned them in from the biggest metal band in the world to one of the biggest bands in the world. And Kirk Hammett said that he wrote that riff after listening to Louder Than Love by Soundgarden all night, and then wrote the riff, and we're like, well, did you ever tell the guys from Soundgarden that, you know, you basically were inspired by them to write one of the biggest rock songs of all time? And he said he never got around to it. But yeah, for some reason, it's weird how the news cycle works. That quote from maybe like a decade ago when we talked to him all of a sudden is now making the rounds as if it's a news story. So there you go. Our name gets out into the press for random reasons once again. But the Bruins, they were set to be the first local team with fans in the stands starting tomorrow night, but not so anymore, as five players ended up in COVID protocol. Jake DeBrusk David Krejci, David Pastrnak, and Craig Smith. They joined the already announced Sean Corrali on that list. So they miss out on a Sabres ass-kicking, which kind of stinks, and what would have been tomorrow's game against the Islanders, which I guess isn't too bad to miss. No word yet on whether Thursday's game at home will be rescheduled. As for now, it's set to be the first to allow limited fans. So the Bruins, it's weird. They have been completely on radio silence since last week. No interviews, meeting with the press from players, coaches, management, nothing. Now, John, maybe you know this, but are these games going to be added to the end of the season? Was that built into the schedule this year? I realized I have no idea what their plan was for when this happens, and it's happened obviously with several other teams in the league. How are they planning on handling
that? I was reading they're going to try and sandwich this stuff in if they can. If not, I don't know how much wiggle room there is to tack it on at the end of the season. Everything's pretty condensed, and they want to get the playoffs done too, so I don't know. I mean, these games are on top of each other as it is. It's basically every other day for the rest of the season. So I don't know how they're going to pull this off. But the idea is to get them all played, if at all possible.
It seems like... If the way the schedule is set up, they might be able to slip in one, maybe two at the end of the season. Other than that, I think they're just going to have an imperfect teams with imperfect records, and they're just going to have to do it the way that, you know, they extrapolate everything to figure out what the points would be, you know, games that weren't played, and break that all down that way. But either way, you'll be able to hear Thursday's game, if it's played, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, this was interesting. Robert Kraft spoke up about the big spending spree, the very untypical, unpatriot-like spending spree that the team just went on. And I got to be honest, he sounds a little nervous about it. So he talked to Peter King in his latest Football Morning in America, and he said, it's like Robert Kraft said, it's like investing in the stock market. You take advantage of corrections and inefficiencies in the market when you can, and that's what we did here. We'll see. Nothing is guaranteed, and I'm very cognizant of that, but we're not in business to be in business. We're in this business to win. He said, we had the second or third most cap room at the start of free agency. He said, this year, instead of having 10 or 12 teams competing for most of the top players, there were only two or three. And in my 27 years as an owner, I've never had to come up with so much capital before. He said, we always made fun of teams that spent a lot in the offseason.
Yeah.
So we know nothing is guaranteed. And I'm very cognizant of that. I love that Robert Kraft came right out and said it. Well, like, you know, listen, this is something that we usually mock teams for.
He also has probably seen the market now and went, we gave these receivers how much money?
Yeah, Nelson. He'll want that Nelson Aguilar contract back,
yeah.
I think.
When he's looking, when it's your money, because now we're talking about it's his money. So this isn't your fan. This is his money. And when he looks at, and he's a businessman. I mean, I think he was the lead negotiator in the television contract. So, I mean, this is a guy who's a businessman. He obviously enjoys negotiating. He's one of these guys. And he probably looks at the wide receiver market and went, what the hell did we just do? Now, as a fan, it shouldn't bother you because it's not your money. But again, if it's my money and I see what they trotted out for these receivers, in the Aguilar one is considered not good.
But he's
around
right.
The league.
This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for the Patriots. I mean, when is it ever going to happen to where you've got this weird cap situation?
I was just
going
to say, wait a couple of years and get back to us on
By
this.
The way, this weird cap thing where no one was competing for free agents. I mean, free agents got signed. Teams did go out and sign them. They just targeted some random dudes and threw a bunch of money at them. So the idea that they got bargains while everyone else was sitting around didn't happen. I mean, they paid plenty.
Well, they also, what I'm saying is it's not just the cap situation. It's
the
fact that in that year, the Patriots had almost more money than anybody, which never happens. So it was kind of a perfect storm of the two things, and that's why they were able to go on this spending spree.
Yeah, they made fun of teams that spend a lot of money because that means that you're not retaining your own players because you can't draft. And so, yeah, you go out and get other teams' players.
They admitted their mistakes by spending money and saying our drafts have sucked. So unfortunately, that's kind of the way they had to operate. Well, according to the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, the Patriots look to continue their aggressive offseason by continuing to be aggressive in this year's draft. They believe that the Patriots are ready to make a play for either Trey Lance or Justin Fields, both of whom are reportedly they are enamored with. I guess they love these two guys.
Yeah, Fields
more than Lance.
Yeah, the Fields market now, and it's always interesting, you know, in the months before the draft, how things change.
Fields is now being compared to Deshaun Watson, and people are saying the same knocks that were on Deshaun Watson, turning the ball over, you know, when you're, and they're saying when you're at that big a program and you're playing that level of competition, you know, you get too fine with them and you overanalyze every mistake they make. So Fields now, from a lot of draft nicks, is being compared to Deshaun Watson. And the idea is people that don't draft him are going to end up, because I think Deshaun Watson went like 10th or something. Like,
I think he went 12th, actually.
Okay.
Behind Mahomes.
Yeah. Okay, so Mahomes went 10th, so he went 12th. So they're looking at it and saying maybe this same mistake will be made now. It's just, and then it's going to change even more. Because as the draft, we get closer to the draft, people analyze. They change their mind a million times. And, yeah, now a lot of people are very high on Justin Fields.
So I like the aggressiveness. If they're actually going to follow this through, they were aggressive in free agency. They signed, what, 10, 11 guys. They brought back some of their own guys. Why not be aggressive in the draft also? If you see a quarterback and he falls to 7 or 8, go get him.
Well, you have
to. It's the only way the Cam Newton signing makes sense.
Yeah.
If Cam Newton's here and that was your plan the entire time, good on you. I think that's a great plan.
I hope you're right. I hope they follow through and finish this thing off.
Well, yeah, Trey Lance is realistic. I don't know about Fields.
Whatever the case may be, whichever quarterback.
I was, as you say, Fred, that these drafts, you know, mock drafts change, you know, day to day. And the Justin Fields thing seemed like a pipe dream when I first read that story. But I took a look, and like all four CBS NFL draft writers currently have Fields being selected in the top 8. So, I mean, they say that he could drop to 8. Now, the Patriots, I don't know if they're going to have enough to trade up to 8 with what they have, but it sounds to me like they're hovering in Trey Lance territory, yes, instead of Justin Fields territory, which, yes, by the way, is a win. That's a win if you're able to do that.
I would love it. I got to watch every game. I would love to watch Trey Lance play.
Yeah, but I think Fields is going to be, you know, the more you read about that kid and the fact that he came from my alma mater in high school, you know that he's a total stud. Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely.
He's sure. got that Harrison High School motor on him, baby.
Yeah, so yeah, they, I mean, if Miami wants to deal at 8, that could happen. I see Detroit. I mean, if Fields falls, the thing is that Detroit needs a quarterback. If Fields falls to 7, I see them taking him. You can't not.
There's no way he falls to 8. Justin Fields, right? He's too valuable.
Yeah, and if I'm Philadelphia, I need a quarterback. I mean, let's look. The only team that really doesn't need a quarterback is Cincinnati at 5.
You would do that? If you're Philadelphia, you would use that pick for a quarterback?
Oh, absolutely. They don't have a quarterback.
Well, they do. They got Jalen Hurts.
No, they don't, but they don't like him. They don't think he's a starter.
The idea is, I mean, we talked about this last week, Philadelphia could very well get into the Deshaun Watson. Well, they were going to get into the Deshaun Watson Derby. That's all over with, apparently, now.
Yeah, they're not sold on Hurts.
They were looking, in theory, they were looking for an upgrade.
No, everyone needs a quarterback up there except for Cincinnati. I mean, Miami, if Miami's sitting there and they can't trade down, they might take a quarterback. Why not?
I just kind of figured that if you were the Eagles, I could understand you wanting to get somebody like Deshaun Watson, you know, an established, you know, guy who can help you win right now. I just thought that with Jalen Hurts, they wouldn't want to bring in another young guy because that's kind of, I think they believe enough in him.
No. What gave you that impression?
Well,
they don't,
the fact
not at
that
all.
They put him in ahead of Carson Wentz.
No. And the owner
and
hated
the players
it.
Love him.
Well, the players loved, Jabroni Auburn kid here. What's his face?
And Stidham. They traded Carson Wentz.
Yes, because they had to. And there's nothing that you have read should lead you to believe that they are in on Jalen Hurts being their quarterback of the future.
The Wentz
I've
thing,
literally read nothing.
The Wentz thing is different than the Hurts thing, though, Rich. I think you got to separate the two. Wentz is obviously broken, or he looked that way. And Philadelphia is of the mind, there's no way we can fix this kid. Let's see if we can't get someone to take him.
Well, hang on. I thought the whole philosophy when they were looking for coaches, wasn't it originally that they wanted to bring in someone who would help Carson Wentz work?
Yes, and then they gave up.
Yes.
So they liked Carson Wentz.
At one point.
Yes. The owner loved Carson Wentz, which was a problem because he was fighting with the front office, and now they don't have a coach, and everything else that was going on there.
Well, they got a coach. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like that, you want to talk about, like, I can't understand how it seems like this year more than anything, coaches who immediately blew it in their opening press conferences.
Yeah.
Like, that guy just sounded like he didn't study for the test when he showed up. Well, the guy, I don't even know what his name is, the one Philadelphia's new coach.
Yeah.
And then you had, you know, Badass McGee over there in Detroit who immediately in his first press conference, like, all right, man, you blew it. You did it there, too.
Yeah. So. And that's why they ended up with the coach they ended up with, is because of how messed up the whole situation was. So yeah, they're in a quarterback problem. If Philadelphia likes the quarterback and the quarterback's in there, they're taking a quarterback. You can't screw around in the draft because they're hoping they don't get a pick this high again. And if they fall in love with Fields or they fall in love with Lance, they're going to take them. They're not married to Jalen Hurts. It's going to be very difficult for the Patriots to trade up into the top 10. That's going to be hard. You got to hope that Lance falls out of the top 10. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and this quarterback class, again, is considered elite. And you know who's going 1-2, and then after that, it's going to be difficult. And the more people praise Justin Fields, the more it makes me think that he might go third. Miami might trade down and, you know, trade with Carolina or something, because Carolina doesn't want to screw around. Carolina really don't want to screw around. I mean, Carolina was willing to give up everything to get Deshaun Watson. And so they're probably going to just go, we need a quarterback, and mm-hmm. freak out. So I'm guessing it goes, obviously, Lawrence Wilson, and I'm guessing it goes Fields. I'm guessing Carolina just trades up and gets Fields.
And if that's the case, there's no way the Patriots get Trey Lance.
Yeah, because then
not
you
a
have...
chance. And if it goes as you say it does, then there's no chance the Patriots
if
get
Carolina is that desperate for a quarterback, we know they are, you don't think they're going to trade up to three?
What you say makes sense. I mean, it's perfectly plausible.
I mean, who are you waiting around for, a receiver? I mean, you know, are you going to wait around
Miami
for
Miami can drop down to six and take a receiver there.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If I'm Carolina, I mean, I'm not. What do I want at that pick? I'm going to take a receiver. I'm going to take a lineman. They need a quarterback. All right, we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.